The Gospel of Isaiah, Chapter 9. Saved and Sent. In the year in which King Uzziah died, I saw Jehovah sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each of them had 6 wings. With 2 of them he covered his face, with 2 of them he covered his feet, and 2 of them he used in flying. And they cried alternately, and said, "Holy, holy, holy Jehovah God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the pillars of the vestibule were shaken with the voice of their cry, and the temple was filled with smoke. And I said, "Alas for me! I am struck dumb, for I am a man of polluted lips, and in the midst of a people of unclean lips do I dwell. For my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah God of hosts." And one of the seraphim came flying unto me, and in his hand was a burning coal, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth, and said, "Lo, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed, and your sin is expiated." And I heard the voice of Jehovah saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Behold, here am I, send me." And he said, "Go, and say you to this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, see you indeed, but perceive not, make gross the heart of this people, make their ears dull, and close up their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them." And I said, "How long, Jehovah?" And he said, "Until cities be laid waste, so that there be no inhabitant, and houses, so that there be no man, and the land be left utterly desolate. Until Jehovah remove man far away, and there be many a deserted woman in the midst of the land. And though there be a tenth part remaining in it, even this shall undergo a repeated destruction. Yet, as the ilex, and the oak, though cut down, has its stock remaining, a holy seed shall be the stock of the nation. The glory of the Lord. I saw Jehovah. Will be seen that it was Christ whom Isaiah saw in his glory. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah, because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. From this we learn something of the wondrous glory of our Redeemer, and what he gave up for the sake of saving us. He is the effulgence of the Father's glory, and the express image of his person. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The glory which he had with the Father before the world began is his now. And now, Father, glorify me with your own self with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And he gives it to us, for we shall be glorified together. His train filled the temple. The word rendered train is translated skirts, is translated hem. The hem or skirt of his garment filled the temple. What is this garment? Here is the answer. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment? Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain? The light and glory of the Lord is his clothing. His train, that filled the temple, was his glory. The whole earth is full of your glory. That is, the garment with which the Lord covers himself is the fullness of the earth. Not only the temple in heaven, but the whole earth is filled with the hem of his garment. Now remember that when Jesus was here in the flesh, all that was needed for the healing of a poor, afflicted woman was that she should touch the hem of his garment. So wherever we are to reach of the hem of that garment which brings life and health and salvation. The healing of the seamless dress is by our beds of pain. We touch him in life's throng and press, and we are whole again. John Greenleaf Whittier, hymn, Immortal Love, Forever Full. The fullness of the whole earth is his glory. This, as may be seen from the margin of the revision, is the literal rendering of the Hebrew. Wherever in the earth we see fullness, revealing itself in the multiplied forms of life, it is the glory of the Lord. Remembering now that in even the hem of his garment there is healing, what can this teach us except that God expects all to be healed, to be whole holy? He has provided liberally to this end. All that is needed is that we come into conscious touch with him by intelligent faith. Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and that we might have it in abundance. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The life is the light of men. John 1 verse 4. If we would but see the life, as it is all about us, and allow ourselves to be controlled by it, sickness would become a thing of the past, for eternal freshness is the characteristic of the life. To speak plainly, if we recognize that what are called the laws of nature are but the manifestations of the life of God, and let these laws rule in us, we shall find the life of Jesus manifested even in our mortal flesh, and that will mean victory over disease as well as over sin. Seraphim. Above it stood the seraphim, or above him stood the seraphim. The Hebrew does not distinguish between masculine and neuter. In this case it amounts to the same thing, for above the throne would be above the Lord. The word seraphim means burning ones. The difference, if any, between them and cherubim is not revealed, but we read about the anointed cherub that covers. And on the cover to the ark in the tabernacle of Moses were figures of cherubim overshadowing the glory of the Lord. Each seraph covered his face with two of his wings, as unable or unworthy to look directly upon God. Yet the redeemed saints shall see his face. Oh, marvelous privilege accorded to the sons of Adam, to be on such terms of intimacy with the God of hosts as is not permitted even to the highest of the unfallen angels. And to show the special favor granted to humble followers of Christ even now, he says, in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. This shows that there is a difference, and that the angels who are specially commissioned to guard the faithful of earth have access to the Father to a degree that others do not. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Forgiveness of sin. Woe is me! For I am undone, cut off, struck dumb, because I, a man of unclean lips, have seen the King, and the Lord of hosts. It was the sight of the Lord that made Isaiah conscious of his own imperfection. Job said, now my eye sees you, wherefore I abhor myself. The sight of the Lord makes known the presence of sin, and either removes the sin, or destroys the sinner, according to the circumstances under which he is seen. This has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. It is fire from the altar, which, when cast on the earth, works destruction. The same fire that cleanses those who confess their sins, consumes those who cling to them. The saints of God, having been tried in the fire, as gold, and having had all the alloy of sin purged away by it, can dwell amid everlasting burnings which will consume the wicked like chaff. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walks righteously, and speaks uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Mark how quickly Isaiah's sins were removed. All he did was to acknowledge that he was a sinner. As soon as he said, I am a man of unclean lips, the angel touched him with the coal from God's altar, saying, your iniquity is taken away. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only acknowledge your sin, and you may know that it is gone. Some sincere souls say, I have confessed all the sins I know of, and I am resolved not to stop until I have discovered every sin in my character, and have confessed it, so that I may be forgiven. Why? You could not nearly enumerate all your sins in a lifetime. They are more than can be numbered. Isaiah did the whole thing at once. I am a man of unclean lips, which meant that he was unclean in heart. The publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and went to his house justified. Be assured that if you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner, you are forgiven. Saved to serve. God saves men only for service. The object of our cleansing is not merely that we may escape destruction, but that we may be messengers of salvation. As soon as the Lord had cleansed Isaiah from sin, he called out. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? It was a general question, yet intended specially for the ears of Isaiah. And the prophet heard, and immediately responded, Here am I, send me. God reconciles us to himself by Christ, and puts the word of reconciliation in us, that we, in the place of Christ, may be agents for reconciling others. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He says, Come, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then to all who heed the call, he says, Go. And he said unto them, Go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord has said that there will be but few saved. So he fortified Isaiah against discouragement, by letting him know at the outset what the result of his message would be. He was to carry a message whose effect would be to harden hearts, and make people blind and deaf to the truth. See what sort of a message it is that hardens men's hearts. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Yet the miracles were done and recorded solely for the purpose of enabling people to believe on Jesus, and to obtain life through his name. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And some did believe. Thus we see that it is the tender mercy of God that hardens men. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn uprightness. But God is clear. How can any soul hold God responsible for his unbelief, when it was the goodness of God, which leads men to repentance, that hardened him? A message for the latter days. How long is this commission to Isaiah to be in force? Until the end of the world. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. But Isaiah is long since dead. True, but the message is still to be given, for remember that the Lord made his call general, and not particularly to Isaiah. Who will go for us? He is waiting for agents, and is anxious to use everyone who will allow his sin to be purged. We are to be ready to every good work, and this readiness is gained through the cleansing power of God. God will use the instrument that is ready to hand when his work is to be done. This chapter emphasizes what was set forth in the article, the time of the promise, at the beginning of this study in Isaiah, namely, that Isaiah's prophecy was especially for the last days. We do not need to make any interpretation, but simply take it as applying now. Although it was so long ago, the people who then heard his words were in the same condition and circumstances that the people of these days are. They did not profit by the message. Let us therefore give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, and fear, lest the promise having been left us, any of us should come short of it, and fall after the same example of unbelief. Although destruction be determined upon all the land, a remnant shall be saved. As a terebinth, and as an oak, whose stock remains, when they are felled, so the holy seed is the stock thereof. The holy seed, the humble believers in Christ, are the seed that prevents the earth from total and irretrievable ruin. As a tree will sprout and grow again, although cut down, so although the earth be made desolate, the few men who are left, the righteous ones, will be the sprout that will spring up and cause the whole earth to be renewed. Israel shall blossom, and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit.